Thank you, Daniel, and welcome everyone. My name is Mark Collins. If I haven't met you before, a special hello and welcome. Just a really brief announcement that I actually wanted to say also before the children go out to their program, because this affects the children as well, is that our church, our parish council, has decided that we want to pursue an assistant minister for 2023. That's going to be a big step for our church, because at the moment there's me who's full-time, and then we've got a couple of student ministers, but we think we need to make that step, and the person's going to be focusing a lot on basically the next generation, and particularly mission outreach to the next generation, because as you know, you live in this area and surrounds that there are thousands of people between the ages of 0 to 14, and they don't know Jesus. We also have programs here that we want to build up, and we also want to start new programs as well. And to do that, we need to have an assistant minister. So we'll talk a bit more about that over the coming weeks. But what I didn't want you to do is to look on sydneyanglicans.net and find out that our church is looking for an assistant minister and you go, how did that happen? So a job advertisement will go up. I've already speaking to a few people, but we've got the process underway. Just in regards to our wonderful student minister, Richard, we love Richard. He's going to be an assistant minister. He's going to be an assistant minister, and you can talk to him a little bit later about that. That's something to pray for him and look forward to. He's going to move to Brisbane, and that will be a fantastic time for him and also his wife, Maggie. All right, I'm going to invite my son, Reuben, up to read the Bible. Oh, and he needs a microphone. That's all right. And Reuben has a pretty cool hat on, right?
Our Bible verse reading today is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Please look it up on your Bible or device or listen to me read the passage. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Groups. Awesome. Okay, we've got our children going out. We've got creche for those that are 18 months or under, and that's up the back here. And then we've got explorers for preschool, we've got jungle for K to 4, and then we've got J team for a years 5 to 7. And you can all talk to the person next to you. I just want to let you know, we've actually got a video that's going to start and play when this time of fellowship's over in a couple of minutes. So, yeah, just watch out for that. Enjoy.
Thank you. G'day. I'm in the Greenfields in the southwest of Sydney and looking forward to our synod gathering here in just a few weeks. We'll be committing to the Lord in prayer for this area to see the gospel grow as new communities come into existence. We want to be serving those communities, proclaiming Christ and helping people to know the love of God in Jesus. Your synod representatives will be signing up just at the moment. When we come out here on a Saturday, we're going to have tours in the local area, walking tours, tours on the bus, so we see the vast expanses of empty paddocks that will become housing and the little communities that are beginning to grow and some of the ministry that we're doing in places like Oran Park. Please talk to your synod reps about what they hear and see, and please pray for the synod as we gather together and seek the Lord's will for ways in which to bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to these new areas of Sydney.
Friends, so that was just a short video about what is coming up. What happens in the Anglican Church is every year synod reps, so I'm a synod rep because I'm the rector of this church, and Nicola is a synod rep, come together to basically have a church parliament. And this year, it's going to be a bit special because usually they just meet in the city and they don't care about things out west. They're actually going to meet at Oran Park for one of the sessions of synod. So that was that video from our, and the Archbishop. Our Archbishop will also give an address at that synod. So that's just for something for you to pray about. And if you want to find out a little bit more about synod, you're welcome to come and talk to me as well. I'll hand it over now to Paul to pray for us.
Just want to make sure you're awake. Let's bow our head and pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace and mercy toward us. And Lord, we thank you for the whole earth, that the whole earth is filled with your wonders, and we marvel at your creation. And yet, as we sang this morning, you have considered us and called us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, the Son of God, our risen Lord, who yet sinless died for the sinful and paid our penalty, taking our guilt upon himself on the cross. Jesus, we thank you that you lived as our example, showing us the right way that we are to live. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, who provides us with gifts and develops fruit and godly character in our lives. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are our counselor, leading us into all truth. And Lord God, we especially thank you for your word, the spiritual authority in our lives, teaching us and correcting us, instructing us and teaching us in all righteousness. Your word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. And I pray that we would trust you in your word. We would live according to it. We would read and study your word. And Lord, we pray for the lost, especially in this region. We ask you, the Lord of the harvest, to send out workers into your harvest so that many will see and come to the truth. We pray, Lord, for those who don't know you, that you would open the eyes of their hearts so that they might know the blessings that are in you. Lord, we pray for all those in authority in this country, that they would make wise decisions and they would work for the good of the nation. We pray especially, Lord, for our local church leadership and leaders in the wider church as they meet shortly, that you would give them wisdom and give them grace and peace about your plans for the future. And finally, Lord, we pray for one another. As your word says, we would encourage one another as the day of your return is drawing near. Remind us to pray for one another regularly and lift up those who are in need. Encourage us and strengthen our hearts, Lord, to always trust in you, in the work that you have called us to do. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. Friends, just the Bible reading, I'll actually look at that a little bit later, so you might want to turn to it now, which is, if you can remember, it's Colossians 3, verses 12 to 17. But look, I hope you have really enjoyed our last 5 weeks, I think probably a bit more actually, because we probably did something in between, in looking at the Trinity, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as you can see on the screen there. And I hope through hearing God's word about the Trinity that you have grown in your knowledge of Him and also in your love of Him, because that's what happens. It's not just a knowledge exercise of thinking through things. It actually should arouse your affections to God. Now, I want to say up front that over the 5 weeks, we certainly haven't covered everything that we could when we speak about the Trinity. But what I hope we've done, it's actually given you a bit of a foundation where you yourselves can go and explore the Trinity more and more and see how it actually works, how God actually works in every aspect of the Christian life. I hope you can do that. Now, I think as it was Daniel announced earlier at the start of the service, that the Trinity can be a little bit complex. But when we think of life, life is complex as well. Nature is complex. Take, for example, colour. Have you ever thought about colour? Thought deeply about colour. Not just what you see here, there's lots of different colours, but the structure of colour, how it's made up. Have you ever thought about colour? Now, colour, from one perspective, is a certain combination of molecules. So various colours are formed by certain molecular arrangements. But that actually doesn't fully explain colour. That only defines the characteristics of colour. An explanation can also come from physics, as colour can be measured as waves. But then, the appearance of colour is affected by light as well. Any colour can appear different to the normal eye in different light. And we know this, don't we? Because we can see different colours of sunshine when the sun's out compared to when it's cloud cover. Hopefully we'll experience that later on when the clouds roll away and we get some good sunlight and things warm up. But also the differences between colours when it's dawn or dusk. Just to complicate things a little more, two people who have identical perception of colour can see things differently. Is the colour turquoise mainly green or blue? Now, some people are going to think different on that one, and they're going to see it slightly different. But then another thing is that you can take an identical green colour and surround it with grey and red, and then its appearance changes as well. Have you ever thought about colour like that? Anyone? No? I don't know. yes, David has. That's great. Now, I don't want you to take my colour example as an analogy for the Trinity. Please don't do that, because I think I've just seen over the last few weeks, every time we think we've come up with a good illustration to explain the Trinity, that it's not too many steps until it actually becomes a heresy, the wrong way to explain the Trinity. But the Trinity can be hard to grasp at first, But I think we can all remember this simple truth. God is one essence in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's actually how we began our sermon series. God is one essence. God is one being in three persons, and three persons in one being, to make it a little bit more complex. The indivisible Trinity consists of three irreducible, distinct persons. Woo! Now we'll get a little bit lighter. As we come to our final talk in the series, we're actually going to look at what the Trinity isn't first, and then what the Trinity is. And in particular, when we look at what the Trinity is, we're going to be looking at two particular things. How God is love within the three persons, and then how can we worship a triune God. So first, what the Trinity isn't. Now, over time, there have been many, many incorrect ways of describing the Trinity. There are books and books and books written about the Trinity and written about heresies which fill shelves in libraries. And like all good heresies, well, they come back from time to time. And over the past 100 years or so, the Trinity has been used to redefine God's word as social changes happen in our world. But actually, when we just think about that statement, God's word can't be divided from the triune God, because God has spoken his word, which human authors have written down for us in the Bible, and the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So what's happened in recent history? Well, people have found it cool to make the Trinity a little bit more social, a little bit more like you and me. Not like God, a little bit more like you and me. Where the Trinity becomes like a cooperation of persons in a community, where they get along with each other. Yeah, they have three different wills, but that's okay because they have really worked hard to love and accept each other. So when we see the Trinity like this, there is actually no divine union. There really isn't one God in three persons. There's just three persons. And a view where the Trinity is social can actually be used to justify lots of social agendas. Certain political structures can be justified as we need to be a society of equal persons cooperating together. So it's socialism which God wants to happen as our political structure. Or it can be used to justify all forms of religious pluralism. We should be a community who loves and embraces each other, and we should forget about those theological differences. In Anglican circles, Bible-believing and liberal Christians should just get along with each other. Why do you want to fight over the Bible? Why do you want to fight over the authority of God's word? You should just forget about that and just become a community. Just love each other, because that's what the social Trinity does. See, they think this new Anglican diocese, which has been set up, called the Diocese of the Southern Cross, is a bit of a waste of time. Why would you want to set up a diocese for people or churches in the Anglican diocese where the Bible isn't taken as authoritative? Why would you want to set up a diocese for that? Why can't those churches just get on with their bishop? Well, their bishop actually doesn't believe the Bible is true and doesn't believe that actually God speaks through his word. So these people find themselves in a situation where they're actually going against what they believe. And if they're Anglicans, they need to be tied to a particular diocese. So the only way out for them is to actually find a diocese which actually believes that the scriptures are the final authority, actually believes in the Anglican foundation, which is the 39 articles that says in one of the articles that scripture is the foundation. See, if we think the Trinity is social, then we can use it to justify all sorts of different types of agendas. But we don't need to think that the Trinity is social, because actually God's word speaks on social issues. God's word speaks clearly. And we can't make God to be like us. We can't make him fit into our certain mindset or our different social agenda which we might follow, because God is God. He has always existed as one God in three persons, and he reveals himself through the pages of the Bible. He reveals himself in his word to us. God has one will. The persons are undivided, indivisible in will and how they operate. And we've seen examples of the Trinity operating in salvation, in creation. They work as one. God is eternal, and he's revealed himself to us in the way he wants to reveal himself. He's revealed himself in the scriptures as Father, and as Son, and as the Spirit, as we learnt last week, who is sent by the Father and the Son. Each person works to save us and grow us in relationship with the one God of the universe. So what is the Trinity? Well, we've spoken lots and lots about what is the Trinity over the last 5 weeks. But I thought today is we'll just nail it to two examples. And that being how God is a loving relationship within the three persons, and how we can worship God as a church. First, God's loving relationship within the three persons. 1 John 4:7 says this: "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." Now, we all know how important love is, don't we? I mean, I love my family. I also love my dog as well. Love can have so many different meanings. But I wonder what you think when you hear the words, "Love comes from God." And when you hear, "Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." They are big statements, aren't they? They are huge statements. And to think through these huge statements, we actually need to probably think a bit deeper about who God is. See, God is an undivided union of three persons, a union of love that seeks the interest of the other. God is a loving communion of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They share in a relationship. The persons are persons. They're not a force. They're not ideas. They're persons that share a relationship. And this relational God has decided to share a relationship with us. Something that we could never achieve on our own because of our sinful natures. And again, as we look at the Bible, 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to 10 helps us with this concept. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. So this relational God extends relationship to us, and he shows his love by sending his one and only Son, Jesus, to save the world from sin. Now, the triune God didn't wake up one day and think, what can I do to help humanity with their problem with sin? Hey, you three, who wants to go to Earth? All right, let's play scissors, paper, rock, and the loser, well, they'll go to Earth. No, God had a plan for all eternity. And his plan that his Son would come on a rescue mission. God loves us because he works in this world to save us. He works in this world to save us. What greater love is that? That's fantastic. Now, the other thing, do you notice in these verses and also in the Bible what it doesn't say? It doesn't say that God was lonely and unloved, so he actually needed to create humanity just to help himself out. He was a bit of a sad old person, so he needed to create humanity. See, God in himself is three persons. He is perfect love and relationship. And he has existed long before the world was created. You and I exist. You and I can love others because God, love has actually overflowed to us. God is so loving that his love actually overflows to us. And our love should also overflow to others. For this is a message you heard from the beginning. You should love one another. 1 John 3:11. See, as we come to know the triune God's great love within himself, and the great love that he has shown to us in Jesus, then loving others is actually how we express our relationship with the triune God. Friends, we need to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We do this because God is actually unity. He's unity in diversity. So we know church is a gathering of different type of people. But as divisions don't divide the Trinity, well, differences shouldn't divide us. We should unite with others who have been saved by Jesus because they are united to Christ. Now, this doesn't mean that everyone needs to be best friends at church. You don't need to be besties. But what it does mean is that you'll actually go beyond friendships to love and care for those in need. You'll talk to someone who is actually different to you and maybe give up talking to your best friend at church. And why would we do this? Well, God gave up so much for us. He gave up his one and only son. So we could give up 30 minutes to maybe not talk to our best friend, who we could talk to any time during the week, and actually focus on talking to someone who's new or someone who we don't know that well. And this isn't some extroverted and introverted sort of thing. Yeah, I know some people like Alan Cook, who's watching online, he could have conversations with 20 people. But us mere mortals, we only might have two good conversations with someone who we don't know. But we need to do this. We need to do this because that's what love, true love that's found in Jesus, shown to us by the Holy Trinity, that's what it does. That's what it motivates us to do, to love others. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. That is, they're massive words, aren't they? We love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. It shows that we have a relationship with the triune God. Friends, the other fantastic thing is that our love can actually overflow outside the church to people in our community who need God's love. It's actually loving to tell others about Jesus. It's actually loving to invite people to an opportunity where they might hear the gospel. It's loving to run playtime, kids clubs, youth group, provide food for those in need, support people in our community. It's a loving thing to do. And friends, when we love one another so deeply, then our love overflows to people in our community. The love which God has shown to us by sending his son Jesus into the world to save sinners like us. Second, from today's Bible reading, from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17, this gives us a real picture of how we can worship the triune God as a church. In verses 12 to 14, we're given a picture of what God's chosen people are. They are compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, patient, and they forgive. These virtues come from God to us, and it's love that binds all these virtues together. Love comes up again. Love is so important. And when we think of a loving God who's given us so much, well, our emotions and our thoughts need to turn to him in worship. They need to turn to him and worship. Friends, there is something very, very special that happens when we come together as a church to worship God. Something that happens when we gather. God does something amazing. Something which actually Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 to 17 describes. There's a wonderful diagram there on the screen. And actually it describes how the triune God is working when we come together. See, first, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, well, he unites us as one body. And then God ministers to us through his word about his son by the power of the Holy Spirit, as the start of verse 16 tells us. Second, through the Holy Spirit, as we learnt last week, who is in believers? Well, we minister to each other, teaching and instructing one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. This describes the gathering where God's word is spoken in many ways. In the Bible reading, in songs, in prayers, in preaching, in conversations before and after the service. And then we respond to God in prayer, reflection, and in songs that are inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that our hearts and minds are focused on the triune God. And then third, that arrow that points up, well, as the passage says, we respond to God in thankfulness by singing to Him with gratitude in our hearts and by giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus. There's something special that happens when we come together as a church to worship God. And sure, we could do worship in our homes, and we do worship during the week when we go about what we do, if we work, we care for children, or whatever we do, as verse 17 tells us. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord. But again, there's something spiritual, significant, when we as believers gather at church. So special that we should want to do it regularly. We should want to prioritize coming together as believers. Coming together because the triune God is actually working in our midst. And that's something you can't get anywhere else. It's something that is very special. And it's so special that we can't do it on our own. It's only God who could do it for us. He gathers us and helps us to worship Him. See, like we don't know everything about colour, or we don't need to know everything about colour to appreciate it, we don't need to know everything about God, Father, Son, and Spirit to appreciate Him. But what He has revealed to us in His Word is truly amazing. We're loved by Him, and we can love others because His love overflows to us. We can worship Him because He has saved us, He gathers us, and He grows us. Our God, Father, Son, and Spirit is truly amazing and should be honoured and worshipped always. Amen. Father God, we just want to thank You so much for who You are. We thank You that You are Trinity, that You are one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are so thankful that You have shown us what perfect love is, that You are love within the three persons, that Your love is shown in Your Son, Jesus, that You have sent to earth to save sinners like us, and that Your love is shown as we unite as brothers and sisters in Christ to love You and to love each other and to see that love overflow into our community. Father God, we just want to thank You so much. We want to thank You that we could come here and worship You, knowing that we are worshiping Your Son, and that is empowered by the Holy Spirit, which is in each and every one who trusts in Jesus. Father God, we just want to thank You so much. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.